This week on the Ocean Cruisers podcast, I'm having a chat with Laura and Ross from Sailing Holly Blue. This is the second podcast we've done. We did the first one a few years back when they were in their second year. Now it's been five. They've made a lot of upgrades to the boat whilst cruising the Eastern Mediterranean, and Laura has set up a fitness business called BoatFit, and Noah has started virtual high school from aboard their floating home. They've been putting weekly videos on YouTube, which you can find by searching for Sailing Holly Blue. This podcast is supported by the wonderful Dutch company Superbee Batteries. Superbee have helped Laura and Ross, as well as myself, achieve our lithium dreams. They manufacture high-quality cell lithium batteries for the marine industry, RV market, automotive and industrial sector. If you want to see how they were installed on my boat, check out the link in the description to watch the video. I went with the Epsilon 150s, Laura and Ross went with the Nomada 105s. Visit their website, super-bee.com, to learn more, and thank you, Superbee. Tickets for the Odyssey Sailing Festival in Greece on September the 14th, 2024 are now available. The skippers are Brady and Blue from Cruisers Academy, Dustin Reynolds, world record holder the single-handed sailor, Glenn Shepherd from Below Deck Yacht, Erica and Warren from We Sail, Eric the Viking from No Bullshit Just Sailing, Dan and Kika Sailing Uma, Trip and Kira from Apparent Winds, Laura Decker, world record holder, and also Lauren Landers and Nikki Henderson. If you visit the website, theoceancruisers.com/odyssey, you can book tickets there. But for now, enjoy the podcast with Laura and Ross.
We, as parents, we're lucky we get to like flow with them. You know,
very much
in what we do. So, yeah. And same for you as well. I mean, are you living on your boat now or?
No. So we're going to go back to the boat, I think probably start of April. We'll have no choice because we've sold our house. So we'll have to go somewhere start of April. Head out, and then we're just coming straight over to Greece slowly. But yeah, we're coming straight over to Greece.
Come over to the sunny side. Yeah.
Well, you know, mate, like I refit the boat in Greece. So I spent like most of last year there. In it's a place called Kalada. It's actually an awesome boatyard. It's close to like Poros. It's in the Saronic. It's not in the Saronic actually. It's just round the peninsula. To tell you the truth, I don't know exactly where it is, although I spent a lot of time there.
I've been here for 4 years.
It's somewhere in Greece. It's very nice.
One of those islands, you know.
Yeah. Good kebabs.
Never done the Saronic, actually. Not yet, have we?
Well, we skirted. We've been from Milos to Elefanisi, so we kind of...
Yeah, we basically bolted it while we could. It was like blue for like a week.
Laura's like, just go! Beginning of the season, it's like, no more Mel TV! Let's just get out of here.
It's blue for a week.
Can be rough sailing around there.
Get to the Ionian, then. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it can be rough.
I
spent like a year in Greece more or less, and then once I finished the boat and I got it in the water, I was like full steam, get back to Spain, pick up my family and the cats, and I ended up spending about a month and a half on the water in Greece. I've been there so many times before and like chartered there as well, and it's like it's the best place in the Med without question for literally all around everything.
A lot of people say we haven't done. Yeah. I mean, I've sailed through, obviously, from England, so Gibraltar all the way to here. But we kind of went quite quickly. I mean, we did it in like 6 weeks.
You were in the same situation, weren't you?
Same as us, actually.
So you see glimpses, and I would like to go back and backtrack and do some of that.
I remember saying to me, "Oh, you should come and fly here, Laura." I'm like, No, I'm not ready yet. Get a bit closer.
We started in, we were in Plymouth, UK in April, and I was literally like so cold doing that journey down.
That's a rough time of year to do it.
Because Vigo was like the first warm bit, but
yeah. It wasn't until started saying it's a bit too hot that I was like, okay, I might come now.
Ibiza was when it started getting really good.
The Balearics is the first sign of like somewhat cruising life, I think. But yeah, so we're just heading back to Greece. And you know, I think legitimately, like, I'll take like 20 years to circumnavigate. I don't care. I want to see everything. And like, you can just so easily spend like 4 to 5 years in Greece/Turkey, you know, between those two, I think. You've done it.
We're struggling to leave.
Like, well, we've got other reasons as well. We've got residency or temporary residency. Mm. And if we once we've done the 5 years, we can then come and go to Greece as much as we want.
Yeah.
So
those are the rules.
We've got like 1 year left, or six. What is it? I think it's like next February, so about a year left.
Mm.
And then you get the Greek stamp.
And that's it. We're kind of
yeah.
You get then you get 10 years, but all you've got to do, you could live, you know, away from Greece for 10 years, come back as long as it's within the 10 years and renew it again. So.
But it hasn't been. That hasn't been an issue for us, because like you say, you could spend, I mean, we could still spend another 5 to 10 years probably when you think about the areas that we haven't actually, and we're the kind of people that crawl all over an area. When we get there and we like it, we're just like, right, we'll see everything, you know?
Yeah, so.
We really kind of sink ourselves into.
I think it's a cruising mentality to do things slowly. Like, not all of us have got racing boats. Like, we... Our boat's slow. It's like five, six but knots.
We also have like fellow friends who are liverboards who like to go fast, and they cover crazy miles.
I think everyone starts like that. If you've left the rat race and then you jump on a sailboat, it's hard to slow down.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, my first 2 months was 3,000 miles, you know?
That does make sense.
So we were...
Going way to look at it is like, if you just come immediately from normal life and you go straight into cruising, your experience of seeing a country is like a week. So you know, you're not going to go across the Med and be like a year, 2 years, 3 years. You know,
And you're also kind of going at car pace, maybe.
Yeah,
you're used to going fast everywhere. Mm. So maybe you think you've got to keep going fast, and we're slowing. I feel like we're getting old or something. We just like going slow now. But then again,
no, we did have
three Meltemi years where it was just go. As soon as the weather window was there, go. And covered a lot of ground between islands. And then every winter we'd be like, for 3 or 4 months, oh, I'm knackered. Let's just stop.
Yeah,
I can't wait to the marina. But thing, now we don't feel that
the
way.
The good thing with the Meltemi is it's north. So you do have like...
You know where it's coming from.
And knowing it's, you know, it's going to be windy, it's going to be north. You know?
Depending
on where you are, northeast or northwest.
We definitely have less like dramas now where we are now, apart from someone picking up the anchor every Tuesday.
We have drivers following us around everywhere. We just have different ones. We've got a leaky boat at the minute.
Yeah.
where are you now? Are you you're in the Ionian?
We're in Lefkada.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Which, I mean, from my experience, is also the best place in Greece to stay and sail. So. by far. Especially the only thing I don't like about that side is it does take like a while to get to Athens if you needed to get there for
7 hours on a bus or something. It takes us four hour drive if you want to get.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
Well,
five hours
to the airport. Depends where you go.
And we have it's such a small issue in like, what is it, first world problems. To get home to see family, we can't really fly between November and April because Preveza Airport, which is like literally a stone's throw, shuts.
And then you don't want to go see your family in the summer. You want to be sailing and doing what we do.
So like, we want to go back to Christmas so we can get fed proper and you know, all the rest of it we can't. But I mean, it's a small sacrifice to pay because it is a much more comfortable cruising area. There's loads of liverboard families.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've never done, previous to this winter, a winter completely on anchor. And while we are at port now, technically...
Well, we have got the anchor in. It's what's holding us off.
Oh, and two lines. So a little story goes...
You can't tell them that.
Yeah, we can.
No, you can't. It's illegal. You can't talk about it.
Well, they're going to wonder what we're talking about. I've got to tell them. So
everyone's going to think you're drug dealers now, so you need to explain yourself.
Smuggling. We're like pirates smuggling. So basically, we spent the majority of the winter on anchor the first time because
it's really good.
So many places that you can run to and so many little pockets of liverboard old salty sea dogs that know everywhere's the best place to go. It's awesome. Sorry, no, just have your wee.
Sorry, I can't hear him.
The joys of living on a boat. So we've done the majority of the winter anchor, but then we got to Christmas. And Christmas was just, everyone who listens that lives on a boat will know exactly what
that sound is.
And they'll love it.
Good sound effects.
That's all right, mate. That's enough. That's 10.
That sounds like a poo, actually. That's definitely, you know how many times you need to push it.
Oh, no. We'll know in a minute.
So, where were we?
We were on anchor and we got to Christmas. We had this like blissful December in Nidri, actually.
Tranquil Bay. It was tranquil.
Yeah. And we had like next to no neighbors, but some really nice old guys that were like, oh, and everything. And then we got really, really ill, like for 10 days, 2 weeks.
New Year's Eve.
We don't know if it was the C word, but we were so rough. Like, we just said, right, let's just go to a town and get healthy and be right near a skip to throw the pins into. Stupid stuff like
you,
that.
You remind me, actually. Have you ever done the canal?
Hang on a minute. I'll get into the end of that bit. I want to
tell
you.
Get there.
Well, the current.
I don't remember.
Do you know the canal going up to up Lefkada?
No, I've never. No, I've never been through
like,
I know it. I know what you're talking about.
Quite tight, but I remember feeling like really delirious going up through there.
You were really rough, weren't you?
It was like being seriously hungover or something. I wasn't.
And you kept making mistakes. Like,
I was like, I nearly hit. So many different things.
Like a drunk person driving
how,
a boat.
I don't know how I got the boat there. It was that bad.
Yeah, we were so... I mean, it was one of those kind of like times when you've been rough that it actually scares you. You think, oh, I never want to be that sick again. And we were all like it. So anyway, long story short, we got here and then don't tell anyone, but there's no mooring... there's no pontoons
in our space. There's no mooring lines, but there are mooring blocks.
They take away the pontoon in winter, they have to legally. So Ross gets on his diving gear and and takes a couple of lines down, just hooks up,
tied them round.
But this is after we finally got in. I'll tell you what, if you ever come to Lefkada Port and you drop the anchor, hope to God that it grips, because if you have to bring it up again, like we did. And your hand flaking it, like I was. It was just covered
in. I think
in.
We did the whole season almost with no anchor problems. And we've got a rock now, but it must have just landed on its back this one time. And it was...
the one time it's in a sewage. In,
it's not... It's actually silt, but it's...
It's not like sewage.
Laura had
I
to...
I was swearing into the locker.
Spraying it off. So that is like the first year that you've been able to spend on anchor outside of a like a home marina base, is really good. When you messaged me and you said we're on anchor, I was like, oh right, okay.
That's and I'll tell you what,
a better winter, isn't it?
I cannot tell you, like, for two reasons, because it's just, I don't know, when you stay out in it, you don't seem to feel so consumed by the winter. Because you're one with the element.
Really changed your lifestyle that much.
No. And so you notice a bit of the temperature drop, but for some reason, when we've ever been in a marina near a town, I've always felt the cold more, and I don't know what it is, but definitely the way that sailing life makes us feel, with the whole feeling of freedom and the feeling of just kind of purposeful living, where everything you do has to have a purpose, because you run out of water, you don't want to, you know, this, that, the other. That continues. So we never really get bored, but like, we have definitely got bored most winters we've been in the marina, and it makes me think just, why have we not been doing this whole time? But I know why, Mel Teamy.
Well, yeah, but also we just aren't good at sitting still. So we've been here in Lefkada, and we really like it here.
Yeah, it's lovely.
We've been here for just over a month now, and we're already looking at the next place to go.
Yeah, we're heading out next Monday or Tuesday. We've met yesterday. We met a pocket of people that we were like, well, so we went for a little drive. We've got a really cheap hire car. So in the winter here, you can hire a car for €3 or €4 a day, whereas in the summer, heading up to 100 a day. It's crazy. So they don't want the cars sat still, you see, in the wherever they put them, the place where they put cars. And that's the one.
like a marina for cars.
You forgot what it's like to go on land.
Anyway, we got a car. We went, let's go for a drive and check out these couple of like ports and areas that we could go to just to have a change of scene.
Yeah.
And as we were coming over this hill to Poleros, I don't know if you ever heard of Poleros. out in outside of the bay, if you left Carliga out, and it opens up into a big bay, and yeah, it's beautiful. Huge mountains on the side of it, stunning place, very quite quaint and old school. And we were driving up to it, and this huge, and we've been debating this, this huge rainbow just lands on it, and right, I was like, that's not a sign. Nice. That what is. And we got there.
Here's what I found.
Oh, hang on a minute, Siri's found it. So that's good. See, it was meant to be. So when we got there, Ross met a couple, didn't you?
Yeah.
A really nice couple. And they were super friendly. I walked off to get a drink somewhere and I found a couple of tavernas, and there was a few people in each one that were drinking beer and just chatting in English. Atmosphere. And you could just feel like, ah, oh, the there's a Liverpool vibe here, and it's a really earthy one. So we said, right, we'll go there.
And there's a few English there as well, so it's nice to hear the language as well.
Yeah.
I think when you've been in Greece for 5 years, you start to miss that, actually.
Feels like home, doesn't it?
Like English-speaking people.
Yeah.
It's a novelty not to hear that all the time, but then you
kind of have peace because you don't understand the language.
Yeah, you go to the supermarket.
You don't get all the voices.
You're in the world, aren't you?
But at the same time, I feel disconnected from people a lot because we don't speak the language, you know? I mean, we do a little bit, but not enough that you can completely bridge that gap, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Greece is probably one of the best places in the Mediterranean, though, for that. Like, you can completely get by without speaking Greek.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think. Whereas in, like, the Balearics, you've got no chance, especially in winter, like, when the tourists... Like, all the people serving the tourism industry aren't working generally. Like, you've got no chance. Really? You have to speak Spanish.
Yeah. What about where you are in Spain?
So we're in, like, the very south of Spain. So we're in Andalusia, which, as far as a place to bring your boat goes, is not great. You've got, like, one area called Cabo de Gata, which is kind of nice. And then you've got, like, the Balearics. But other than that, it's just very much like coastal cruising between like bays that are quite rolly. I won't really recommend it for like a cruising ground. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in terms of a place to live, it's very, very nice. It's just, British people have got a British experience when it comes to Spain, which is, you go to the British holiday destinations and you have a great time. Whereas the actual towns and like Spanish culture is very, very old school.
Oh, yeah.
Like so, so far from the north of England. And like the north of England is old school compared to, Surrey, for example. But like, it's just super different. And we've lived in cities all our lives. I've the real job I had before was, traveling all over the place. So to go from that to like an old Spanish town was
culture shock.
Yeah,
massive. And I haven't enjoyed it at all. I like the idea of being on a boat and being chilled out and living life at your own pace, because if I want to change it, I can just do that.
That's the point.
Whereas when you're stuck in it, it's difficult.
Andalusia, from what I recall, is this south of Spain?
Yeah, the most southern part of Spain.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure I've been there. I've definitely been in that area many years ago. Had a partner, not you, obviously, but he was a mountain bike rider, and he did. He used to do like crazy kilometers of mountain biking.
So it's the best place in Europe for mountain biking.
Yeah,
yeah,
and they go up for like 8, 10, 12 hours a day doing it. And I stayed in a very small town at that point, and it was like nothing, coffee, and that was pretty much it.
It's very old-fashioned.
That's right.
But you know what's nice about it is like people go into town and they go to the butcher, then they go to the place to get eggs, then they go to like the grocery store, and then they have a coffee for like €1, and they just sit around with their pensioner friends and talk about the slow life. Like,
what they talk about, nice. Do they ever get bored? Do they stop? Do they run out of something? Because they sit
maybe they're all on Twitter and they're actually coming to the table with new ideas every day. Maybe not.
I mean, Cornwall's like that. It's like,
Zoom.
Yeah.
What have you been up to? Oh, same, same.
Like, but you can't do that all day.
Oh, they can. They can.
People do stay in the same place for like their entire lives.
Their whole life.
Normal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually very normal.
But that's kind of why I didn't. I grew up in Bridgewater in Somerset for my sins. And I felt like I couldn't do that. I was like, I can't do this. This whole just being here in one this one place. And what's there's got to be more, you know? Like, and think. Is that what brought you out of
I don't know. We're from Cornwall. Well, yeah, I'm from Cornwall. You lived there for a while. But I actually really liked it there. But I mean,
I'd live in Cornwall.
But if you live there for 30 years and there's the rest of the world, do you just stay there your whole life or do you go and check out other places as well?
Well, I mean, you're here once, aren't you? You want to see as much of it as you can. That's kind of my ethos, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, like.
And from the best perspective. You know, from the ocean. No neighbours. See it from the outside in. And then you can walk away from it onto your tender and bye.
Then do your own thing. No, I think it depends where you're from. Like, I have conversations with people who are like from, you know, like, beautiful place. I'm from Wigan, so it's horrible. So I like have conversations with people from like beautiful places. And I'm like, I don't understand if the desire to travel would be as strong if you're from a really nice place. But I think it might be genetic, because like you come across people who, like, you know, they've traveled and their parents did and then their grandparents were in, like, you know, the merchant navy or whatever, and you know, you see families and it's very much within the blood. So you know, I was watching this like completely off topic, but I want to get this off my chest. I was watching this like science documentary last night, and it was talking about I think it's theory, but they've got something to base it on, that like your memories are actually stored within your genetics. So when you effectively like have a baby, there is a possibility that you could be, your memory is imprinted in your genetics, and that's passed on.
Crazy. I wonder how that
kind of makes sense. Everything's like in life is like passing it on, isn't it? Whether you're a tree or whatever.
Yeah, but that's, you know, kind of,
like, it's passing on to the next thing.
Is that like past life then? We're delving into past life area here, aren't we?
Potentially. Yeah, like, is it my brain is or is it actually just like memories that you've been born?
Maybe that's where you get your instincts from.
But what about trauma? Yeah. Like, what if you experience trauma? Does that get imprinted in your genetics?
I'd say so, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think it's super interesting when, like, you meet people and you can see that they are actually like their parents. And it's very, very interesting. Like, I haven't spent like that much time around my parents, because I left home when I was like 20 and like literally left the country, and I've spent all of my adult life away from my home country. But I'm getting more and more like my dad, which is fine. He's a good bloke, you know what I mean?
Oh, but that's like, good to know.
Yeah, that's got to be more genetics rather than, you know, environmental factors, because I haven't spent that much time around him really.
Yeah,
you always say, I mean, my parents live in Cyprus, so I guess that's the travel gene there.
Yeah, but
definitely. They only did that like six or seven years ago now, I think.
They used to holiday a lot.
Yeah, they did, but they couldn't afford to do more, and they probably would have if they
could. What you're able to do restricts you. Yeah.
But they have retired there now. But I'm so much different in kind of my ways than my parents, but you're always saying to me, you sound just like your mum.
Only when she's nagging.
So, oh, yeah?
Don't, because my mum might listen to this.
I just realised that.
It's all right, she'll laugh. Luckily, she's got a sense of humour.
Laura's
mum
is super efficient. So
I thankfully have a bit of that, I think.
If I come out of the shower and I'm like literally just dry and I drop the towel to, like, you know, put on my boxes,
I'm there.
She's picking up the towel. It's like, why haven't you picked this away? It's like, because I'm naked. Still getting dressed.
I'm close to that, because you put it on my side of the bed, the wet towel on my side of the bed.
I'm not going to put it on my side, am I?
What is this?
You need to nip this in the bud sooner rather than later, Ross.
It's been happening for nearly 15 years now, and it still doesn't think. But yeah, we're quite similar to our parents, aren't we? Actually, you are a bit of a rogue, I would say, a rogue gene. Because I've never met anyone like you, including your parents. Like, you're a very individual human, in the nicest of ways.
Ross, your parents weren't into traveling or doing crazy
stuff.
My dad was really into boats, but power boats like Thatchers and stuff like that. I grew up.
Oh yeah, I guess you do have
water skiing, you know, snorkel diving, wakeboarding, that kind of thing. So
extreme, you're into extreme sports.
I'm very comfortable on the water.
Mm. You literally have zero fear.
Sailing experience at all until I started this.
Yeah.
Really kind of yachts. So I didn't even know how to start our boat. Engine when I first got it.
The
suddenly that... I'm like looking, we've got to get this out of the marina tomorrow and I don't even know how to start the bloody engine.
Yeah,
it's quite different to a powerboat.
yeah well, in some ways actually the gearing's different, but the drive's obviously completely different.
You're a figure out as you go across, aren't you? Like literally Ross has number one somehow zero fear, so he just does stuff and doesn't even like get overwhelmed or just okay, let's do it. And then no matter what it is that you're doing that's new or whatever, you just kind of calmly go into it and can just logically figure stuff out.
I'm only fear less if I'm in control.
Yeah, is that not normal?
I wouldn't be good at bungee jumping. So if someone straps a rope to me,
yeah, but you wouldn't show it.
Push me off a bridge.
No, I would. Like the perfect poker face.
Yeah, but I'd be feeling fear inside.
Oh, inside.
But when you're in control. Bit like if I bought the rope and I tied it myself and checked out the bridge and everything else, then I'll do it, you know. Yeah, it's the same with sailing. Yeah, if I've checked the weather forecast, I know the boat's all good, done the engine checks, check the ropes, everything's good,
then, you trust your equipment,
then I'll do
you?
It, you know, whatever it is. Like Bay of Biscay, I was quite worried about with my very little experience.
That was a heck of a...
I mean, before I did Bay of Biscay, the longest sail I did was from Plymouth to, well, halfway between Plymouth and the Lizard. So
it's right, so it's not very far, really.
Half of Cornwall. No.
He's like, oh, now we're out of practice. Let's go sail to Greece.
Most people would start by crossing the English Channel and then maybe coming back and do that a few times.
Not you.
But my sights were on Greece. So when your sights are that far away, Biscay was only like a small thing in a way.
In the grounds.
Yeah. I think a lot of the hype as well is from the old, you know, tall ship boats that can't point to wind and, you know, get stuck in there. Like,
I think it's a lot easier to navigate and sail across than it's got the reputation for.
I do, Well, in my experience.
Yeah, same, mate. Like, I've never sailed across it. I've been across it in a boat twice, although I've never actually sailed across it. But... yeah, it's not like a wild place where boats are taken down constantly. Like, I'd be much more scared of the big dolphins.
No, you get a rough, waiting for you. Right, get a bad weather window.
So it's just again, it's a weather window thing. You just need
but
to
like no
sure.
more than anywhere else. Like, you don't get insane winds there at inappropriate times of year, like you do inside the Med, actually. So like, yeah, much more predictable.
Yeah, and there's no like acceleration you get like between islands or countries in some cases.
It just, I guess is it the sound of it, the Bay of Biscay? It's got that kind of ring to it, hasn't it?
It's probably like stable, isn't it?
It's probably just marina talk. Like the first marina we were in Mayflower Marina in Plymouth, and you know, you ask the old boys, you know, about the Biscay and the channel, and they've all got their stories.
But then you were sat in a marina.
Oh, there's one that worked there that was in a Force 10 and they lost their life raft and half the crew were like throwing up and really really ill, and he said it was really tough for like 2 days, you know.
They picked the wrong window.
and I'm gonna go, you know, a week later.
Yeah, and this is the kind of stuff he's telling me I'm on the other side of it in Cyprus. I was with my parents and with the boys waiting for him, and he's on the phone telling me all these stories. Oh, I was speaking to this guy the other day and he was saying this and he was saying that, and I'm just like,
but they're the stories you hear. No one talks much about the easy.
No, of course not. Like when you go on Yelp or like TripAdvisor, you only see the shit ones, really.
Yeah.
Because only the people have that like emotion where they've got to write something because they're really annoyed. Yeah. Yeah.
And apparently you have your best memory with emotion, do you know?
So it
locks it in. So if you've had something traumatic, or not traumatic, but exciting or scary,
any extreme
you vividly remember that, whereas some of the boring stuff you've done, like
I vividly remember a Monday,
you want to feel alive,
Tuesday, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
Don't ask me what I did last week.
I could Not a lot.
Oh, okay.
You worked on the boat all last week, didn't you?
Actually, I do remember, because this is imprinted on my memory. Yeah. I saw the toilets out, took all the toilets apart.
Oh, I cleaned the heads. Yeah. How we've got another toilet.
What, to clean the pipes?
Yeah, and we've got... Yeah.
Toilet.
Yeah, it's working better. Can you hear it? We've got True Design Seacocks, but it's like 90 degree elbows on all of them, and they clog up. So you're there like a screwdriver, like trying to break off what looks a bit like plaque.
Talking about the leaks.
I think it's like the calcium buildup, but I think it's calcium mixed with shit. I think there's a chemical reaction there. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it we put down?
It's salt water and, you know, and urine.
Right, that's the one. Right, okay.
They say vinegar helps, but we've been pouring gallons of vinegar.
Oh, it doesn't seem to do absolutely anything. It's still
but the elbow out. Would be under the water also. So, like,
it would so we're literally dilute. Money down the drain every day with this white wine vinegar we've been buying for donkeys now. So we should stop doing that and save some money.
No, I think it'd be worse, actually.
Maybe we won't tempt that fate, but you did that. And then every time it's rained, and as you know, the Ionian, you get a heck of a lot of thunderstorms and some serious dumping rain.
Couple of, yeah.
And all of our, where our clothes are, and oh my gosh, next to the TV, where all the power.
This year, for some reason.
Oh my goodness. The leak.
What is it that was leaking? Because you mentioned it before.
I don't know. It's a bit of a process by elimination, but.
He's basically just seeming everything.
You know, like the stanchions.
Yeah.
They've got like feet, and there's like two bolts. Sealed those.
I've got a few of them leaking.
Yeah, they definitely leak because people pull them when they get on the boat and stuff and yank them up.
Well, the kids mainly, they like literally come on them, like leap off them.
But I've now noticed the tow rail that goes around the boat, it's like an aluminium trim that goes around the side of the boat. There's like, I think, 100 screws. And I was looking at them in the rain.
Are they bolts or screws?
They're actually screws, thank goodness. So they're like self-drilling, big, thick stainless steel screws. They look like bolts. They don't have a nut on the other side. So that's really good. I unwound one. I was like, oh, thank God for that. So I've been putting Sikaflex in, and it's like a bit of a repetitive job, but going around the whole tow rail, pulling them all out, sealing them. And now it seems to be better.
Well, we have
made on one side.
But we had rain last night and in the day yesterday, and I went and checked. This is so monotonous, isn't it? But it's one of the things you have to do all the time. Yeah. Checked all of our covers to see if the little pool of water that's normally there is there, and it wasn't.
Oh,
and
nice.
Like, that little thing means no mold.
No mold.
Amount of times I've had to just take all of our clothes out and spend 16 euros in a laundrette. It's just it's so, you know what it's like. It's so, you feel like you've got enough boat jobs as it is, and then you know that, so you're like, oh,
and you get the silly ones on top.
You learn as time goes on.
It shouldn't really be happening, but it's not your, I mean, it's time, isn't it? And the bigger jobs take the bigger precedence. And the last year, we've done some crazy upgrades, haven't we, that have just been all of our focus, you know, the big stuff, which makes the overall experience way more enjoyable. And then now we're starting to kind of like pick apart the finicky ones, which isn't a bad problem to have.
Wished I knew what we know now, like 5 years ago.
You save yourself a lot of time.
Like batteries, for example.
You've just installed lithium ion, haven't you? I think
Superbees also.
Superbees as well.
Superbees,
they've been a game changer,
absolute godsend.
I mean, I never cruised on my boat without them, and to be honest, I wouldn't have done. Like, it's one of those things, I would have spent money on them either way. It's a game changer, mate. But it's I having conversations about like electrical systems is probably the thing I like talking most about on boats. And like, one thing I've learned since, like, definitely cruising through the winter season kind of this last year, was like, you need a lot of solar panels, because like, you can have a massive like battery bank, but if you haven't got the solar pushing those in, if you have like a week of bad weather, like, you are going to end up turning the engine on regardless. So yeah, great. But I got the different batteries to you. I got like the long 200 amp hour ones. I know you got
the stack pack ones. No, Marders, purely because they're like modular, so they're only I think it's 90 or 100 mil wide. So they kind of drop in under our seat and slide across, and you can get four in there.
Mm.
So we got
a space thing, really, wasn't
the
it?
The maximum we could for the space, which is 840 amps, just under that.
Nice. So, yeah, for like when we were looking at them and we were talking to them about it, it was more a case of like, what is the shape of the hole? Then that kind of dictates like which type of battery you get.
I think yours we're going to go with easier.
Yeah, well, less wiring. You know, the difficulty is like when you rack them up, it's actually bending the wires and getting the terminals to go round. And when I was looking at the Nomadas, I was like, there's going to be so many like tiny little bends on those things. I would have enjoyed installing it because I like crimping. But yeah, it would have been more
work. Doing the shrink wrap.
Toilet again.
Very nice, mate. It's very nice.
Yeah, that's when you know you're getting more professional. Noah, how many times you need to use that toilet?
They barely ever go to the loo. And then since we've got the podcast, three times.
What? Toilet day.
Noah, could you shut the doors, Arlene, please? Please, thank you. batteries, where were we? I forget.
So
what did you have before? Because we've gone through some normal AGMs or something.
Funny enough, we've just done a blog with them, haven't we?
Yeah, we
talking about the whole thing, but
the whole setup.
We inherited lorry batteries, lead acid lorry batteries, which did not run anything for very long at all. We did our first sale and everything was going dead in like an hour. So we changed those to like Bosch sealed lead acid, I think they were. And being a bit naive to it all, we were running the engine to like charge them. We had no solar and we killed them. We basically destroyed them in the first year.
I think he's getting a bit like FOMO.
Is he?
He wants to get involved.
Wants to be involved. I have to shut the door, otherwise I would have
he's like a lap
cats
cat
all over this place.
Really? He's a proper, I say lap cat, but he's more like a lap dog, isn't he? He literally goes for walks with us. You don't put him on a lead or anything. He walks with us. And if
that's
you go,
rare to get a cat that will like walk beside a human like around.
I know he's very. When I think we he was drop a dog.
Him to shore,
it was a dog genetics.
When we drop him to shore to go, because like if we're stern to or we're quite close to shore, we'll drop him off for a little. We'll have a little play on his own or make some friends, and then he'll cry to come back. And if no one hears him after 2 minutes, he'll just swim back to the boat.
You know, you put that on Instagram a while back, and I showed my wife, and I was like, look, we can take the cats to shore, and then we can teach them how to swim. And like, the reaction I got was horrendous. I should not have suggested it, but it looks nice. Yeah.
He gave up crying. He just went,
we had the generator.
No one's going to come for me, so I'm just going to swim back.
I was literally sat outside, editing, I think, but I had the generator going and my headphones on. I didn't hear him.
He's like, you're out there all ignoring me.
He quickly grabbed the phone at the last minute. I don't know if he said it once or twice, but we could easily teach him to do it. But it's a habit we don't really want him to have.
Honestly, just such a savvy cat, isn't he? He is like, it's like a cat dog. Everything you get from a dog, but you got the less responsibility, but more, what's the word I'm thinking? Independence of a cat. So you get the best of else, and he truly like you look you can communicate with him, like he understands what you're saying. It's crazy. And then we have the other one, which is a girl, and I found her under a wheelie bin last winter, like starving, hungry, very sick. Brought her in, nursed her to health, that smidge. She doesn't want nothing to do with you, and she won't leave the boat. She's literally, since the moment we brought her on board, when she was so sick, she stopped crying the minute she got on the boat, and she's never left it. Well, we've tried to get her off it since, but she's not interested. So it's perfect because you get the balance there. Like, you never have too much cat because she's not that interested, but also you don't have to worry about getting them both to shore. So it's a nice, it's a happy medium, isn't it?
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah love
that's
it.
Nice.
It has been.
I always
so
thought I was more of a dog person, but he's got such doggish traits, if you like.
Yeah.
It's kind of best of both worlds because he's quite self-sufficient.
And he's really warm. Really warm.
Have you taught your cat cats how to like use the toilet?
No, but I keep saying this.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure how we do it.
I had like no energy left last year to even think about it, but we got the thing, you know, you get the
and
the
you move
and you move the piece. We got that, but we just never got round to it. But we had four. We had four on the boat last year, and one of them was like super sick and died. David. He'd been ill for like a long, long time. Kidney problems, and he was like pissing everywhere because he had like these kidney issues, so it was really bad. But yeah, we want to do it. I've met quite
a few people. I want to do it.
Train the cat so to use the toilet.
It's a space, isn't it?
We did. We semi smuggled him back from Cyprus. We found him in Cyprus, and we got the cat passport, and he got on the plane with us. But our plane got delayed from Athens to Leros when we were there, so we were put in a hotel overnight. Right. So obviously not allowed to take animals to a hotel, so we kind of smuggled him in, kept him in our hotel
room. Yeah, I forgot that.
And let's put a load of tissue paper in the bidet, and the bathroom can be his home, hoping, because he hadn't been to the toilet for like 12 hours. We were like, when's he going to do it?
Right.
And he went in the bidet on the toilet paper. So like, solve.
Just change it up.
Honestly, that's probably the one thing that would solve a massive issue. Well, it's not a massive issue, but space is an issue, right? It's always been an issue, but now...
Where do you put your litter tray then? Like, in one of the bathrooms?
Under the chart table.
Under the chart table, yeah. So
right.
Then you can't really sit on the seat to use the chart table, which is a good spot for
it. It's outside at the moment because we're docked, so obviously it can go up in the enclosure. But when we're sailing and we're like summertime and stuff, we don't have a captain's desk. So that's one extra space that we don't have. Mm. And it doesn't smell bad because I'm really on top of it.
We buy the expensive stuff over.
It's not expensive. That's the thing. It's $3.99. It's not expensive, but it's just we found a brand, you know, the one that
smells like Pop Puri.
Yeah, it does. It smells like Coke. Clumps, blur. We don't need to go into any more detail. It's cat poo, but
I was going to take it down a rabbit hole then, but
we found the way to like look after him in that instance. But if we could teach him to use the toilet, that would be another level, wouldn't it? Do you reckon we could teach him to pump it?
Do you know what though?
Probably not pump it. If you had an electric one, could probably tap it. Yeah, I've seen him do that.
He drinks from it.
Do you know what people with dogs do? They let them poo on deck and then they hose it off.
If it was on the
AstroTurf, like I've got friends who do it, they have them poo on an AstroTurf. It's the same as if you have a dog in a house, you have to go and pick up dog shit everywhere. It's like it's only a cat thing that you don't.
And I guess it goes straight into the ocean, so it's not too bad.
No, try the toilet thing. We should do that.
Yeah,
make that our goal for this year.
Little fun fact, cats, I don't know if your cats do this, but they can drink salt water to rehydrate because their kidneys can
filter out salt.
I guess it's a
sometimes they want to.
Same like birds then, because birds can do it also.
They were born to be on boats. Cats were born to be on boats.
I didn't know that. That's super interesting. They can drink salt water.
It's a survival technique, instinct, isn't it? So it means that wherever they are, because they were wild animals, wherever they are. They can drink whatever it is.
That's right, because he drinks the toilet water.
Sometimes.
Which is salt water. Pumped salt water.
So. I mean, he prefers not
to. No, my cats didn't. Actually, they didn't really have access to a toilet. I never saw them drink salt water. I didn't know they could do that. That's really cool, interesting.
Yeah. Because obviously we definitely can't.
So if we're stuck out in the middle of the Atlantic one day, he'll be fine.
Yeah,
and they're good for the environment. You don't have to give them fresh bottled water.
Are your cats going to be on the boat with you?
Yeah, well, they were on the boat with us last year. We're going to keep them with us on the boat full time now. We've got three which are inside the house, and then we've got like one and a half that live outside. Half because we feed her, but she gives us no emotional satisfaction. She won't let us stroke her, so it's not like a full-time pet.
Yeah.
It's a half-time pet. We pay for her, but we don't get anything back. We've got two that we're going to leave here. The family that came round to look at the house, actually, like really, really nice family, and like you can tell they really enjoy spending time with the kids as well, which is a good sign for a person, I think. They were so happy when they saw the cats. They were like, oh my God, like, who's these cats? Who were like, oh, these are like the house cats, so you can keep them if you want.
Come with the house if you want.
Yeah, they come with the house. Yeah. We've always had like four or five live in the backyard that we feed and do injections for and stuff, but we've never like technically owned them, apart from one that's really nice. So we put a little bell on her, like your ginger cat has. But yeah, they're staying with the house. So we were really happy when this family came and they were like stroking the cats. We were like, oh, this is nice.
That's perfect, isn't it? And your cats get to stay in their known environment as well. Because it is, I mean, you could ask the boys, they know absolutely everything there is to know about cats. They would tell you, a cat goes here, it goes away from its home, it'll experience this sort of trauma. Like, they know everything. They watch Kitten Lady, if you ever... Kitten Lady on YouTube. She rescues kittens in America. She's from the US. Right. Gone all over Europe, actually, in Montenegro, and taking photographs of all stray cats and stuff. Anyway, yeah, they're obsessed. But we actually had a little experience with Ronnie a couple of weeks back, where we went away for Ross's birthday, didn't we? And we went up to Ioannina. I don't know if you've ever heard that. It's about
two-hour
drive up into the mountains. We wanted to get snow. The boys were just like, we need to see some snow. And it was Ross's birthday, so we had this lovely apartment. Ronnie stayed
So like 2 hours from Lefkada and you can go skiing.
There are ski resorts. Crazy.
There's one
called Metsovo, which is one that we drove up to from Ioannina. Ioannina is the main city, and you can actually fly internationally from Ioannina as well, but that's another story.
I don't know if it's linking airport to Athens, actually.
It depends where you're flying from, but you can fly to Athens and then somewhere and then etc. We went to Ioannina, lovely town, could have stayed there a week, maybe 2 weeks. It was so beautiful, and there's this huge lake up there, caves, that kind of stuff. And then we drove up, saw some snow, came back down from Metsovo and came home. And we were wondering what Ronnie might get up to, weren't we?
We left him a big bowl of
food. How long was he there for on his own?
Just 2 nights. We leave him a big bowl of food to eat.
We just like chucked loads of food.
He's more than capable of what we. Yeah. So thankfully we shut our bedroom door.
I think
he must have been thinking we were in there.
Because in the mornings, every morning, he's like scratching at the door wanting his food.
Yeah. So we think he might have thought we were in there, and he brought us a little present. But it wasn't a little present. He killed a pigeon.
A big fat pigeon.
A pigeon. And he brought it back through the cat flap.
Yeah.
Dragged it through the cat flap. So we came back from our lovely little mini breakaway.
But this pigeon was not
a dead pigeon anyway.
This pigeon was only one piece. It was in about 100 pieces.
The head under the table, the wing in the bathroom.
I've got like pigeon parts all over my property. Like they're everywhere. Like I've been refixing up one of the cars to sell, and like when I've been walking around the gardens, there's pieces of pigeon all over the place.
It's amazing what a cat will kill, isn't it? Yeah. I couldn't be angry at him because it was kind of cool, really. But he's such a dude.
Do you know it's actually to go, because you like touched on it before as well, when you were talking about the natural instincts. It was like, I remember when I had a cat when I lived in Dubai, and it was like this big fluffy Persian cat, and she had babies, and like the little kitten had literally only been inside the cat box where the kittens were, and then in my hands, and that was it. I went out on the balcony that I had, and I took the small kitten with me, and I had the kitten in my hands. And when a bird flew onto the balcony and just like started hanging out on the balustrade, like the kitten went down into like the "I'm going to hunt you" position, and like started going, you know, the thing with the mouth like that. When they
do. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, how do you know that? Yeah. Like, you've not been taught that. You've never seen a bird, but you knew immediately that like that's my food. I need to kill it, and this is the noise I need to make.
It probably knows exactly what to do.
Yeah,
so that they get that, and then a human baby, you know,
gets nothing.
We're
the most useless
species that is completely. I was going to say useless, then that sounds terrible, but
useless it is.
Yeah, at birth, and we need complete round the clock care,
and even like kids with common sense and stuff. You know, I don't know when.
Oh yes,
but when then, you but hit your kind of peak of being, you know,
we're like more complicated, human. Don't we? Aren't there? Aren't we as humans? I mean, socially, like in a multitude of ways, we're so complicated that obviously things are going to a lot more's got to be learned, if that makes sense. Than perhaps just in its instincts and what it needs to eat and how it lives.
I mean, we're the only things that exist on planet Earth that can actually like have conversations with each other, really, aren't we? Because I know like other animals or mammals can like talk to each other, but
well, I don't know, lions sound like they're talking, don't they?
I don't know.
Like extensive dialogue. Do you know what I mean?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Which makes everything like way more complicated. Because you've not only got to deal with your own shit, you've got to deal with everyone else's when you're a person. Yeah.
That goes back to the whole why it's so nice when you go to a country and everyone doesn't speak a language, because suddenly like
that may be what it is.
No noise.
Yeah. It's one thing you notice about like when you do move overseas, like it's very nice listening to like, you know, the stories about your neighbours and your cousins and what your auntie's doing and all that, but it's also very nice to not deal with
to be able to go, oh, brilliant. Oh, well, speak to you soon, bye.
Yeah, exactly. You know, see you at Christmas. Yeah. So I don't need to listen.
No, I do. Yeah. I think that's one thing. If there's anything I struggle with, actually, it's that I miss my family so much, but hoping to see them soon. So, Ronnie's trying to get on the computer now. It's warm, isn't it? That's why.
You haven't cruised to Cyprus yet, have you?
No,
it's just
right.
That was the plan. That was the plan.
It was right. The initial plan. That's where we were supposed to be going to. Mm. But it's the cruising grounds situation again. You know, like when you get there, there isn't. We want to cruise.
We were mainly going there because of our parents. They've got a villa there. And I just thought we've got our first marina like there.
We've got family.
We've got family with a villa. We didn't know what we were doing, whether we'd like anything, you know. So it seemed like the safe thing to do. And annoyingly, I paid for a year in the San Rafael marina. A
lovely marina.
Okay.
I paid a year up front and we never
even got there.
Never went there.
Oh, you never turned up for it?
Well, we got to Rhodes. I think, when did we get to Rhodes? It was about September time. We were doing some filming with Channel 5, which delayed us.
My New Greek Life.
Oh, yeah. How did that go, by the way? Because I think that was like just intense. After we spoke. Or
Spoke last time. No way. It was, I mean, we had a fantastic crew on board. Like, it was just
it's a lot of work, a lot of hours.
Yeah, like literally we were filming from 8 in the morning till sometimes 8, 9, 10 at night, all day, every day for three weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. It's intense. Yeah. Intense. But it was...
We got on really well with them.
Luckily. And they weren't sailors, so it was really awesome giving them a taste of that lifestyle. Yeah. And it was really amazing to get the opportunity to share our story, you know, like how you can do this amazing lifestyle if you want to, and you're not limited by anything really, because you know, we're normal everyday people and we did it, so why can't anyone else? But it was just very tiring. That's the only
tiring
thing.
And tiring, like we just had our little
3 weeks of strangers on board and you're actually working
almost were starting to suffer, like they didn't have us like how they had us before for a little while.
But if you imagine as well, we were fresh to sailing when they filmed and in the Aegean in the TV. So if they ever were going to get some drama, they were going to get it with us, and they did.
They wanted drama. They actually said, they actually did say at one point, 2 weeks in, we love it. It's all
gravy, but
lovey. Dubby.
We love your life. It's beautiful, but come on.
Is there any drama? Is there any drama?
We need to punch up.
But funny enough, me and Laura had a bit of a tiff the night before.
We actually had,
after 2 weeks.
We cannot hide these things anyway. Yeah, like, if we are falling out, you will know about it, because we just don't. We prefer, I mean, obviously we don't air dirty laundry as such, but there's a vibe, you know. And we did have, I don't even know what we fell out about, but we slept top to toe. Basically, unless
I slept though enormously,
and I went, no,
that's severe. I'm not putting my face near your face tonight. Yeah. Like,
I literally couldn't. That's how much I was not. Anyway. I'd rather smell your feet.
I'd rather deal with your feet.
That's what you call cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and you can't remember what it was about ever.
I can't remember. No, yeah.
It was nothing.
We sat the next day at the back of the boat, and Marcus, our producer, was filming us, and he was laughing, wasn't he? Because I was on one side of with the wheel in front, and Ross was on the other side, and we were literally looking in completely different directions. And like, oh, I'm not going to speak to him. He can speak to me first. It was brilliant.
It was funny. It's funny looking back.
But, you know, we made it.
And it was over nothing, really, wasn't it?
It always is. And yeah. I can't remember the last thing we fell out about, but it's pretty much nothing.
It is funny when you, when we have our little tips on the boat, it's like something really tiny. Like,
but it's normally because...
Oh, always, mate.
And, and it's usually because of something else. Like, it'll be, say, for example, we've had a load of stuff go on at once. Because you know what it's like when you live on the boat. Everything happens in your environment. Like, if it happens for you, it's happening for me. If it happens for me, it's happening for you. If the kids are going through something. So a load of things went wrong in the boat. Like, we had a leak in the water heater, something else, something else, something else. And you might be extra stressed. And then some small thing could trigger a more of a row. Or maybe we've been sailing a bit too long and we've had trouble anchoring and we're knackered. And, you know, it's always more environmental than it is actual problems, which is a blessing.
Yeah, which is fine as well, actually, because, like, it's pretty, it's actually nice, because, you know, like, I'm not an easy person to live with. I'm not hard, I know that, but, like, I'm definitely not easy. And, like, 75% of the time when me and my wife end up, like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's me. Like, usually it's me. But it's because something else is pissing me off. It's not because I have a problem with her. Like, I rarely ever do. But then it's nice because, like, 2 hours you late, 2 hours later, you're like, oh, she's all right. You know what I mean? She probably hug or whatever.
Oh yeah. and then you can do the hug again, like you know, all that business and make your way back in.
I quite like that bit.
You're simple. Spice it up. We always know what's going on with you because you're just like simple. I half the time I don't know what's
she
going
doesn't.
On. I literally.
There's no. She doesn't want anyone to know what it is.
But I don't know myself.
There's no good trying to crack it, fix it, figure it out.
I have to figure out what it is first, because I don't know. And then I'll go, oh, by the way, you know, last week when we had that massive row and I was really pissed off for a few days, well, that was because of that, because I've just figured it out. It's like, what
yeah, yeah, I get it.
That? I really feel for him. I'm like a Rubik's Cube, you know? Yeah. Anyway, and manage that as well on board. And I think, but that's it, isn't it? If like coming down to relationships on the whole, if you are meant to be together and you love each other, proper love, it'll work
out. It'll survive, yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
It might not survive very nicely if you don't work it.
We've had our best run of, like, no tiffs this winter. So you think, like, being in this, like, pressure cooker almost.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been a pressure cooker.
But I think it's because... we actually are living how we actually authentically want to live. Like, this is what we're both happier when we're an anchor. We're both happier when we're just living on the boat, you know, but not maybe it's because we're like birds, aren't we? We can't be caged in. Like, I get really antsy if I'm caged in, like today, for example.
Oh yeah, I've got a bit of a.
We might have had a row.
I got a bit of a small. I got a bit of a sore throat now, but I've been talking for like 2 hours straight with various
mates
people
at the marina.
Laura was waiting for me to get back so she could go to the gym.
That was, you know, I said to you, Andy, oh, we're going to be with the podcast because Ross. So first of all, I'm waiting to go to the gym, which is never a good thing because that means I need to go to the gym, which is never a good thing. Because I need to
Don't
get something
stop
out of my system.
Laura going to the gym.
It's like it's a medicine for me if I'm feeling stressed or whatever. Anyway, and then he didn't come back for like a whole hour, and I can't lock the boat because we've only got one key, which is stupid. But I couldn't. And then I was like, I get the feeling he's on the phone. That must be it, because he's not answering the phone. So I went out and walked up and down the road, and he sat in the car on the phone. Anyway, that's another story.
Yeah. I'd get a lot of shit for that as well, mate. So
that's all right.
He likes it, mate. You've just got to do that courtesy text. I'm going to be a bit late or whatever. But I'm a sucker for it. Like,
I got nothing.
Someone, you know, I'd go and take, you know, there's lots of bays around here where you go med mooring to the rocks.
Yeah.
If someone comes in, I quite often will go and, like, you know, give him a hand with the lines and stuff. So I grab a line tied to the rock, go and see him. Before you know it, I'm on the back of the boat having a beer, and then an hour's gone by, and Laura's like, "Ask,
I'm paddle boarding over like this. Your dinner's on you the table.
What a new boat. The guy asks you, oh, are you married? You're, oh, shit, yeah. This is just... Yeah. Okay. No, it's the way it goes.
Looking forward to that again this summer, though. Do you think you'll be here in Greece this summer, then? Or?
Yeah, we'll be in the Ionian in July. Ooh. Yeah,
So we're definitely going to have to meet and have a few beers, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%.
A few mammals. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll be there in June, July. We're going to head out of, we're going to head over to, I think, just Menorca, probably. I think we'll just stop in Menorca for like a couple of weeks, just chill out. Fix everything that broke over winter that we haven't realized broke yet, and then probably just like shoot over to Sardinia, then Sicily, have some pizza in Sicily. I really like Sicily. It's a great place. Sicilians are pretty cool, actually. Yeah. As well,
are you going the north way or the south way?
I think we might go the north way, actually, just because I'd rather go to the north of Sardinia because there isn't much in the south. So I think we might do the north.
There are a couple little islands off there as well. You know where that volcano was?
Yeah.
It was a volcano that erupted. Only like 2 weeks after I was there. And
you could see like on YouTube, there was people like in powerboats. That's right. All the plume of smoke.
Ash and stuff.
Yeah, I remember seeing like videos people put of that on Facebook. Mm. You know, motorboating away from like the volcano and that type of stuff.
I'm fascinated by that stuff.
What's that? You know, where you go around the corner between Italy and Sicily. I forgot what that's called. It's like a
around the corner.
So you around the northeast corner of Sicily, where it's like really close to Italy, isn't it? It's
cool. Oh yeah, what's the strait called?
Strait
Messina.
I can't remember.
I can't remember the name. I've never been through it.
Did it at 2 a.m. You know when you do like in your ICC or your RYA offshore, whatever, you go with
your
navigation lights and stuff. Well, you've got like two cities either side of you, all these lights, and then there's much shipping traffic. You've got the shipping lanes, you've got.
Oh, you just couldn't make out what anything was.
Oh, it's just nuts. And then we had one hell of a tidal current as well.
Mm.
But
Times like that when you really appreciate people who like. Put the correct lights on things.
Yes.
It's actually super.
You've been in Messina,
the Messina Strait. Yeah.
You've been in Greece a lot before, you say, Andy, and you probably know about the lighting situation on anchor in Greece, like, or in general, like what people do or don't do.
Whatever they fancy.
They put like the steaming light on.
Just put the lights on so someone can see us.
Yeah, I remember we got into an anchorage, which was like, you know, it was actually this was the anchorage where I messaged you last season, and I was like, I'm sure you just posted something close to where we're anchored, and you were like, you were just a bit further north, and we weren't going that way. But that anchorage, we pulled in at night, and it was like, it's the super pretty one with the spit of sand in between the two. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. So like, I think I remember now.
It's like the one night in like a month that they had really bad roll in there. So we got in at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was like waves going through. We were like, okay, this is bizarre, but given the angle in which it's coming from, it's going to be the same in all these anchorages. So we may as well just try and sleep it out. And there was literally like two boats that I don't know what theme they were going for, but they were just like covered in like disco lights, Christmas lights, like literally.
Really?
Yeah. So when we came into the bay, I was like, well, that's obviously a bar, and it was pitch black. There was no moon. So it's like, that's obviously a bar, and that's a bar. So the sand is there. So like, what the hell is going on with like my navigation equipment? It's showing that this is water. Like, I legitimately thought, and then we got closer. I was like, who the fuck has put these on their boats? Like, that is so dangerous.
100% charter, that would have been, wouldn't it? Definitely.
Mm. Yeah, someone people have started putting flashing lights on their sterns now as well, which is another one that I'm not too fond of. It's no, like these, not. Yeah, because that's not what it's not meant to be there. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not what a flashing light means if you're just like randomly moving across a surface of water. It could mean something very different. And it should be I'm not But yeah, I'm not too big of a fan of those neither. I get why people do them because, like, even last year, we probably, like, I don't know, four, five, six times, we probably had people just straight on, like, almost motor into our boat when we were anchored up at night. So, yeah, I get it.
I think leaving it, we leave a light on in the saloon. I mean,
Yeah,
that's
so we do.
better than, you know, your anchor light should be okay.
We have our blue fancy under the ones that you put in, the ones up on deck. You're
Under the table.
your lovely blue tees that you love, but we
What
don't have
brand did
them
you go
on the.
with? Which company did you use for that?
You know, we inherited that with the boat.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
And
but what I
the
did add is
oh.
I put an LED strip as well, like under the wooden part of the table.
Oh
So
yeah, we've done some of
it
those.
makes it all white. So when you're up there drinking or whatever, it's
It's
nice because
nice.
you kind of can see what you're doing, but it doesn't spoil the night vision because you like the lights are like a below you kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not, and it probably wouldn't
Indirect.
confuse people either on anchor, I wouldn't have thought.
No, I
No,
normally leave it on
no.
for anchor.
Although we're pretty good at not to say we should have the wrong lights on, but we know the good places to go that's going to be quiet. We tend to be good at picking the quietest
We
spots,
scout
don't
them
we?
out, don't
Yeah, I don't know how we do it, but we are pretty we're pretty jammy like that, aren't we?
we? Unless we're going to Niedrig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But we
Well,
often go to
sailing,
Niedrig to
doesn't it,
pick
at
up
times?
you don't
Yeah.
want to be in Niedrig anywhere in the middle of winter, do you? In the middle of summer ever. It's like a heat trap. You can easily add. I mean,
Five
last
degrees.
when we had
Add
that
5 degrees to it.
crazy heat wave last year, we were in the 35 to 37 in Vasiliki,
Which
where
is
you've got
nice.
the really, it's just really windy all the time, which is lush,
It's a
and
bit like Melbourne, to be honest.
windsurfers all around all the time. It's absolutely brilliant, fantastic vibe, very extreme sports. And then up in Nidri, which is like a 2 hour motor or sail up, but on the same island, 42, someone clocked 50 in the sun at one point. It was nuts. And that's literally on the same island, but because of the shape of it, it's a horseshoe bay, it just catches all the heat. But then the
All the
beauty of it
rock as
as
well.
well, in the winter when we've been down there on
There's no one
anchor,
there.
there's nobody. That it's absolutely, and it's so beautiful, it's so gorgeous, surrounded by mountains, very calm. The town's like a ghost town, which is awesome.
Greece is really beautiful this time of year. Like,
Yeah, really gorgeous. The only
I'm really
particular.
looking forward to sailing to Phalaris because I can almost guarantee we'll be the only boat sailing across that body of
Yeah, that
water.
feeling's
Nice.
gonna
And
be.
the skies as well, like the lower suns and a bit of cloud, there's more pinks, there's just,
Yeah, something
and all the
about
mountains have had
it. Yeah,
snowy
snow-capped
tops. It's
mountains
just,
everywhere.
you imagine
Yeah,
seeing
very
snowy
pretty.
mountains meet in the sea, it's
Yeah.
like, oh, it's awesome.
But I mean, as well though, back to Nidri, it's warmer in the winter. So where it's hotter in the summer, it's that bit milder in the winter as well. So you can manipulate the area to what
Yeah,
you want
just go to the set
depending on the
places.
seasons. Yeah, and
Where
there
were
are.
you last year when all the fires started?
Oh, we were in the Ionian still, so we were
Oh,
perfectly.
right.
Yeah,
Yeah, you
nothing
were
would
fine
happen.
for
We did see,
it.
actually, we were in Meganisi, little Meganisi Island with all the fingers in it,
We did
lots
have,
of tiny bays.
remember that one where you
Yeah,
paddleboarding? We had
yeah, yeah, yeah.
orange sky.
We couldn't see a
Yeah.
thing. We went paddleboarding and the whole sky was
I think we were
orange.
in one of the better places to be,
Well, I mean, we're
really,
across the
all
water,
round.
so yeah. I mean, if you get a little fire on one of the small islands here, it's very easy to contain
Yeah.
because they've already thought it through because it's a small
But the
island.
smoke we were getting, I think, was to
Traveling,
about 100 miles away. We
yeah,
traveled like a hundred
it was from
miles.
the mainland
Yeah,
up. It was
mate,
actually from up near Ionia, I think.
towards Athens, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah,
something like
towards
that.
Athens. That was really
Yeah.
bad for us, actually, right? That was the second day the boat was in the water for me. I dropped the boat in
Oh.
the water and then that happened the, I think the night. I can't remember. Anyway, I remember going to sleep and we was in the cockpit and I was like, is that a bad smell? But like we were shit faced because we just put the boat in the water and all that. And then the next morning woke up and like everything was just covered in ash. Like you
Oh,
couldn't
no.
see anything.
You're
Like
close then.
literally, we were close, but the wind was also pushing it that way. But yeah, it was actually when we took it out and did the first test sail. It was dusk, so we had the headlights on as we were walking around the deck. And when you have the headlight on, you could really see the ash rain, like you
Yeah.
know, just like falling straight down in front of you.
Did you
But
get
it
moved
happens
though?
every year. The what?
Oh yeah, it does. Yeah. Did you get moved? Because we had friends that were told they weren't allowed to go to
school. Oh, they were sailing.
No,
I think from Poros, near where you were saying.
Yeah,
that would have been worse.
Yeah, they had to turn around. They were going head to Maltemia, then they got halfway, then the Coast Guard said you had to turn around.
Yeah,
turn around. You're in
Halki over in the Dodecanese. They had really bad fires in Rhodes and Turkey at one point. Yeah, and we were kind of
Turkey to start with.
It was like Turkey, Rhodes, from Iran.
Wasn't Rhodes like totally evacuated last year?
I'm not sure about last year.
Don't know about last year.
Was it Corfu?
Helicopters with the.
We were sailing in this like smoky, ashy kind of environment. Yeah, there were helicopters dropping buckets in the sea and then going over to the trees.
Mm.
We were thinking, are we doing the right thing? You know, sailing around to Lindos, but
yeah.
Lindos actually was
nothing.
Completely fine.
In wind direction, like you say. You
it
know?
Is all wind direction.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the island north of Rhodes, which was Halki, was much worse.
But then we had really strong winds in Halki coming from where the fires were, and it was like they were literally carrying the heat, and we were like a hair dryer.
It was in the 40s at night, and we had...
Oh,
it
was awful.
In fact, it was in one of our episodes, I remember it. We had nearly 40 knots. It was like 38 knots, you know, blowing.
Mm.
And it was still so hot. Like, we got out of the boat at 2 a.m. to jump in the sea because it was so hot.
Mm.
You got out and it was like being hair, like standing in front of a hairdryer.
Yeah, you got dry quick.
But an ashy hairdryer, like you were smelling all this wood smoke as well. And,
oh dear. Oh, might as well just stayed in the water, really. It would probably be better. But
yeah.
Talking about batteries, I was just remembering back in the day when we used to have to run the engine.
Yeah.
Sorry, total caveat there, but run the engine every day for like an hour in the morning and an hour at night to charge batteries, and the water heaters underneath Noah's bed, and because the engine is in between their bedrooms.
So poor boys when
we first got on the boat, and the mosquitoes was tricky. But like, I remember so those much days. When you think about how
talk
we
talk about
to,
that, like
it's crazy though, isn't it? How we've always loved this lifestyle. We've had some serious highs and serious lows. But
it's really bad for your engine. You could just get a small portable generator, and you're going to use like 1 liter an hour rather than 5 for starters.
Yeah.
So why we didn't do that, I don't know.
Well, it's heating the boat up is the worst thing. Like it really does make your boat a lot hotter
outside. Mm. You know?
Yeah,
it was funny what we put up with back when we first started, but then because we didn't know any better and we loved it because we were just on the ocean, we didn't realize how much better it could be if we made improvements, and that's just kind of what's happened over the course of the 5 years.
Yeah.
Suddenly. The environment is much better for these upgrades, but the boat doesn't look any different. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, there's little things though.
What do you charge your batteries with, shore power wise?
Shore power. So, well, last year, I my electrical system was a bit up in the air because my generator wasn't working. Long story short, I had no interest in using my generator, but then when it got cloudy and rainy, I had to, and it didn't work. So I've got all the bits I need to replace it now. It's just the fuel system. So last year it was basically just solar, like 100%, just with the normal alternator that was putting out like 60 amps, which was kind of crap. So this year I've got... My generator will be working. We've added another 2 solar panels, so I'll have like 1.4 of solar. That's all through Renogy MPPT chargers.
Oh, yeah.
And then, we also just got a DC to DC to go from the 24-volt system to the 12-volt system, which is a Victron something. So, we've got
Orion.
Orion, that's it. Yeah, it's an Orion one, 24 to 12. So we'll have like 3 decent ways of charging the batteries, but I'm hoping the solar can just manage it.
we managed like almost 6 months on solar. It's
how many kilowatts have you got?
We've got Bojar V SIG panels, and there's a kilowatt of those, so 5 200 watts.
It's
nice.
And then we've actually put them on the Bimini. So the whole Bimini is like a solar panel.
He's not done yet, though.
Oh, very cool.
And then we have on the Davit frame 480 at the minute, but I can get that higher.
Probably you're planning to.
So that's pretty much it. We also have some fold-out ones as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the fold-out ones, we can literally use our 2.4 kilowatt oven, water maker. We're even like, I'm saying to Laura, we've got too much power. Like, just put the water heater on for an hour.
I know.
We'll have warm showers because...
Yeah, that's what we were doing last year. We were like...
don't want to, like, you know, not use it.
Well, are you not charging the Blue Yeti as well? The power banks?
We've got a Blue Yeti power pack as well.
What do you think about those? Like, is that worth having on a boat?
If you've got a... I'll tell you what, it would have been worth having in our first year. If you haven't got the money to go whole hog, you know, lithium batteries, because it's an expensive installation. I mean, the Victron stuff alone is about $5,000 or something. I don't know. Mm. It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to add your
batteries. But if you're committed... Top.
So in a box, it's an MPPT charger. It's, what do you call it? 2 kilowatt inverter, and I think it's a 2 kilowatt hour Lifeboat 4 battery, all in one pack.
Oh, so wow!
It's equivalent to like 110 amp hour lithium battery, I think, something like that. Maybe a bit more. So it's a really good starter pack, if you like. But you know, the Super B batteries are marine grade. They're going to go the distance. You know, they're going to be in this boat for the rest of its life, probably. So it just depends, but the Blue Yeti is quite handy if you don't want to buy all those things and just want to buy, you know, a quick pack to put on your boat. If you use your boat for summertime, like a few weeks a year,
I was going to say, for something like that, it's perfect.
Small might be different
pocket cruiser or something.
Or if you just want a backup, or if you want to use it to like run your cooker. We did that, didn't we? Run our cooker and cook, like, we get about an hour's worth of oven time from the pack.
From the one battery.
You just put it up on deck with a fold-out panel and it will charge it.
And because the oven's on deck as well, we're not getting the heat in the boat, which is ideal.
Don't have to get gas.
Yeah, it's very cool.
When running out of gas is that thing, isn't it? You know when you can just tell it's going to run out. Like, yeah, I think I'm on the last bit of it. And then trying to find, yeah, so annoying. But, we used both, didn't we? You were quite often getting tired now, the diving gear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got like a dive compressor. That's another one.
The compressor.
It's basically, I was using the Blue Yeti stuff for luxuries. Like,
I was going to say.
Yeah,
like
you don't need
it. Diving equipment.
Can we go scuba diving today? We've got the power.
It's more because of how our boat's wired. So all of our fitted solar, if you like, is wired in through Victron MPPT chargers like yours. To the main house batteries, Super B batteries. But we used to use this power pack with a fold out thing on deck to harness a bit of sun power to in exchange for cooking or something else.
We looked like a floating power station is what I used to say all summer. And that's my gym there as well. And quite often I'd be like, Ross, do we really need the whole deck covered in the solar? because I just want to get as much power as I can.
You're liking it because it's shading the boat
A little bit,
It is nice, though. You know, like, you look at your batteries at, like, 11. You've only had a couple hours of sun, and then, like, your batteries are fully charged. This is nice.
And now we're waking up, and we're like, how many hours have we got around the generator for today?
So
December we were running the generator for three or four hours.
Crazy. And
just the difference now in the extra sunlight hours, we're getting that down to like 2 hours a day.
The reason we're using
the generator, by the way, is we are actually in a port at the minute, right next to a power point. But Lefkada are charging 2.5 euros per kilowatt.
It's nuts.
Now with the generator, it costs us less than 1 euro per kilowatt. So we're spending about 200 euros a month on petrol.
Right.
We would be spending more like 700 if we're paying to use the bloody thing there.
It's crazy.
That's ridiculously expensive.
I know, it is. So, I mean, it's obviously geared up.
It's the same in Idri as well.
People on holiday, chartering and stuff, but it's hideously expensive. Mm.
Well, so, they know where they can make the money, you know?
It's too much, man.
20 euros, like, and it didn't last us a day.
You thought you said, I'm just going to try it here, because maybe it's different.
Well, it's nice, like, to be quiet.
Maybe it's better electricity.
Yeah. So now I'm just like religiously every day starting the generator up. Right at the back of the boat, making loads of noise.
But it doesn't make that much noise. It purrs. Our generator purrs. And we've got used to it, haven't we? So it's not really...
Yeah, but I don't know if out there have.
We have.
One of the Honda Silence. What is it? I-2000?
It's the EU32.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not too bad at all, really. No.
Yeah. I had one on my boat when I was a teenager on my little cruising boat. I had one, which was amazing because there was no electrical systems in that boat at all. It was just like a basic boat that you just sailed it and that was it. But yeah, we were then able to like have music through the night and, you know, all that type of stuff.
The luxuries.
Where'd you put it? Like on the bow as far, like forward as possible, or the very back of the boat?
No, we put it on the stern because we slept in the bow. Because the only space, it was like a tiny little 22-footer and you could basically sleep at the front of the boat, but you couldn't sleep at the back. There was no space. Yeah. So yeah, we used to put it on the transom outside. Mm.
That's where we got
perfectly. Mm. Yeah, they're really good. Like, I think I mentioned it to Laura actually a while back.
Yes, you did. I was thinking.
I remember that.
Where
to
put it? You were.
Where to actually store it? Because it's a way better option than some of these like ridiculously expensive generators that are diesel put out an equal amount.
Whisper
of power.
Quiet. Yeah, yeah. Like we were looking at what are they called? Are they Whisper Quiet?
I don't know.
Diesel ones. I thought about getting a diesel one, but it would mean like taking much more room up in the boys' cabins. You know, like building some box in and stuff.
If I remember rightly, you didn't even tell me you were buying that generator until it came.
But you got to buy one now, though.
No. Huh? And I said,
those are expensive little things, actually.
Yeah, I said to him,
they're good.
You know what? It's already...
I got it at a really good price. It's
already paid for itself.
Yeah, it has. Ross does that with anything that he buys that's going to freak me out if I know how much it's cost.
I did.
He'll get it first, and then he won't tell me how much.
I lie about the price.
He'll lie about the price. Oh, do you?
Background.
Didn't actually know that, but he will not tell me the price. Like, as in, somehow manage to change the subject on me while we're in conversation about the thing he's bought, and then I'll live with the thing that he's bought for a little while and fall in love with it, and then he'll tell me how much it costs, and I'll be like, oh, but it's worth it, isn't it? You know, it's quite savvy,
it's
really.
It's not a thing to do, really, then, isn't it?
It was just one of those snap decision things. I was sanding down the boat at the time. We were in Cleopatra doing the antifoul, you know, sanding before the antifoul. I was covered in...
Did it come to you? You're like...
Covered in paint. And my dad rang me and said, there's a deal going on one of these new Honda generators. Do you want to get it? And he's in the UK, but he was coming down in his camper van in July. So it's months away. But I thought, all right, let's just do it. So I bought it. Mm. But I'm glad I did because... Well, I wasn't at the time because the whole summer it's been in a box because the solar managed it all. And I
did
was like,
everything.
Why did I spend all this money on a generator? But... Tell you what,
this winter, yeah,
we've already done 360 hours on it because it tells you. So,
but it's every single day that the sun's out now. We are lessening, even though the temperatures aren't particularly climbing. Like we're in 14, 15 degrees, and it's been like that for a couple of months now. The sun is gaining power because it's out.
You can feel it.
Yeah,
face,
you can feel it.
Yeah.
Like I went for a little run the other day, and I came back and had a slight tan line. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. I wasn't expecting that. Like, you know,
coming out of winter.
Getting some power, you know, in February, you don't expect it. So onwards and upwards.
Oh, my top off when I was doing the deck screws.
Dead.
Yeah. I was thinking this is February and I got my top off. Yes.
Yeah. We had friends in the sea the other day, didn't we? They were out on Sunday, went to a beach and we were all swimming in the sea. So we need to do that. This is why we need to go back
to
on anchor. Next week, so that we can remember it's not as cold as it looks.
And Polaris, the port there is right in like really nice, clear,
beautiful
water.
Clear water.
Really good
spear fishing.
Yeah, I was going to say fishing. Mm. We've got this new fishing net. It's what's the name of it? It's one way, it's a bowl shape, and you put bread in it and drop it down into the sea off the end of the bow and just leave it in there for a few hours. pick it up, five fish later, you know, just like that.
It's crazy. It's easier than...
Really?
Like, yeah. And Poleros, it's insane.
How big is the net?
Yeah.
It's about 500, 600 square. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All different sizes of fish, and we fed the cats for a lot of the summer with the fish. We
cats were catching
every single day. Yeah, so cat food, saved from cat food.
Can and you send me a link for that? That sounds amazing. I will do.
Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant. Like, one of our friends lent us one, and we that rusted real bad, but
fell apart.
We just got a new one. But yeah, it's fantastic. And Poleros,
what's nice about it as well is there's
heaps of fish.
There's no hook, so you can throw any fish that you don't want back.
Yeah,
because they stay alive, so you really,
so it's not killing them.
Choose. It's kind of,
there's no hook, nothing. Yeah,
it is.
That's awesome. That's really good.
Yeah. It's really, really nice. You feel good.
Definitely buy that.
Yeah. Mm.
Just to save money on wet cat food, actually. That's exactly. Like €3 a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and if you look at, I don't know where the cat food comes from, but, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty healthy stuff.
Yeah, or, you know, it's probably not come from.
Ronnie always knows as well, doesn't he? Because if you go up on the bow, he goes straight over to the net. What's in there? What's in there? And he's down like this.
No way.
Not this time, because he knows he's going to get fish. Yeah, it's really, really nice way of fishing, I think.
Yeah.
You need to.
That's really good. I actually went to a fishing store yesterday because I want to get some like trawling, yeah, just like a trawling rod and a reel, something like that. Because like last year we just had the, what's it called? The plastic thing that you just.
Oh, I know what you mean. They do them in Greece. I don't know.
They're very popular in Greece. So the fishermen, like, they just go across anchorages, like just picking and bringing them out. I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, we just had one of those. And we caught a few tuna, actually, which was good. So we did catch some decent fish of it. Yeah. But yeah, I want to get like a proper setup for this year. But yeah, I went to the fishing store and I was like, all right, what reel goes with this rod? And he brought over this like €250 thing. I was like, I have to catch a lot of fish to like justify buying this. Probably more than I have the energy to catch.
You could sell it to the, you know,
turn it into a business.
I think there's plenty of people that go around selling the fish in the summer, isn't there? There's always fishing boats going around going, you want fish? You want fish?
Do you remember La Ros Marina? Have you been to La Ros Marina or not? I can't remember.
Yes. Yeah, I have. Yeah.
There's a tool guy, electrician, Panos. Anyway, he's lived in La Ros.
Don't know it that well.
Yeah. He's lived in Laos his whole life.
Do you know everyone on the island?
He sent me spearfishing. And they back then used to, like, you know, drink coffee and everything in the cafes and stuff. But they used to make their money by going spearfishing and selling it to the shops.
Mm, they got some lovely big fish. We haven't caught a big one in a long time, and I'd like to.
That's because there's no fish anywhere.
Yeah, there Greece isn't the best place.
This is what I'm excited about. But I don't know why.
Catch anything
the amount of times I've borrowed my spear gun, like, where I could get one, I've literally, even on camera sometimes, just pointed it to sort of go, yeah, I could have got you, but I'm not going to because you're too small. And it's just...
Yeah, why
yeah,
is...
Yeah, it's not the best place for that.
Why isn't that? Is it? It's overfishing, isn't it? Was the cause of everything.
Is it... what was close... Was it the Red Sea was blocked off or something back in time? Don't ask me when. And that prevented algae, not algae, plankton and things getting through.
Yeah,
that's why their genes are clear.
It's more likely something to do with that. If you look at the way the Mediterranean works, you're getting older water over there.
Yeah, that's it.
In the summer, definitely, because it just
in a way clear water isn't salty. Actually, healthy water, clear, super clear water. Although it looks like, you know, spring water to drink or whatever. It's actually not very healthy for the marine life. In a way, you go back to like UK tidal waters and stuff, where it's murky,
more
it's
thriving. Fish.
You know,
everything's getting fed.
Yeah, exactly. All the way down.
Yeah. So. What do you think of like the octopus eating regime that they have?
Pretty. Have you seen the process in killing
them? It's quite. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, mate. Do you know
when the bashing on the rocks?
80 times they have to hit it.
Just watch this. A
sometimes, because I also see them dry them out. I love Greece. I think it's like the best place in Europe. Yeah. And I think Greek people are actually my favourite.
Yeah, they are.
My favourite foreign people, like, in general.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm not that into the octopus.
No. I don't know. It takes not strong. I don't know what the word would be, but the cats are running around off the boats now. Yeah, I've seen it and it's quite.
I've had lots of opportunity to get it myself, but I know the process to get it, you know, more.
It's like
kind
not worth to eat.
It's just not worth it for me.
When we were in the BVIs for the sailing festival in December, one of the guys who does he catches a lot of, like, I think he said king crab from like Vancouver waves. Canadian dude, he's a really nice guy, and he went and caught an octopus, and like he just caught it and then he just bit it on the head, and then apparently it just like immediately dies, and that's the way.
Yeah, I've heard
it.
So that's like, I mean, I think if you're going to go and hunt for your food, that's probably the best way to do it. Just immediately kill it.
Yeah,
I've seen them in Greece, like hang them up and like dry them out when they're alive and stuff.
I think it's something to do with tenderizing, though, isn't it? I think the reason the hitting thing is, it's something to do with. Yeah, I'm sure
there is a humane way to do it. It's like they have a beak, don't they?
I don't know.
So you imagine if you open them with their legs open, you've got like the hole there, you shove your finger in and kind of pull the beak out or something like that, and that kills them quickly.
That's the mouth. I thought that was the arse.
I don't think so. I think it's the same.
We're in octopus.
It's the same.
Keep it in. Google
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I think
I thought that. I thought that was where they. We need to look into this. I am.
Yeah, I reckon.
Kind of a bit confused now.
I don't know why they have a beak there.
Weren't we just having a conversation about octopus last night as well? Where if you look under a microscope at a cell of an octopus, it's genetically identical to a human cell.
No, visually. So if you looked at if you looked at the cells. Right. A human and an octopus, you could not see the difference.
They're just made up different, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ask.
Because they legitimately like aliens. Like a lot of stuff.
Well, this is what borders up. Does actually. Thought,
like if you look at it, you would not think it's got anything to do with anywhere we came from. Like it's so different.
Yeah. That's exactly what the post was about, actually. Now they're actually very, very similar to us, actually, if you look at it.
Yeah, there was a documentary I watched on Netflix, and I wasn't like massive like anti, you know, octopus eating regime. And then I watched this documentary on Netflix where it's like octopuses can be your best friends if you want them to. And
it
was a guy who had like a pet octopus that was in the wild, and he goes to see it, and they have a great relationship.
Oh, I've seen it advertised, and he actually grows grows
I'm sure it's like my best friend octopus, or like my octopus, something like that.
Can't you say that all animals are super
smart, like, and you can have like good friendships with them?
I'm not sure you could say that about all animals.
I think you can. I think you'll find you do that with a cow or pig, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I think
talking about making friends with animals now.
Well,
we don't eat meat.
It's the Cornwall way. It's a pig.
We cut
the house
a lot.
We don't really. We used to be before we took to sailing life.
I'm
we
a weekend meat eater.
Yeah, we were vegans back in the UK. Well, first of all, because you could be, you know, it's easy.
Yeah, I've never told country to where you
I don't like labels.
No, there are right. We never labelled ourselves. In theory, you can't call yourself like something, and then the moment you try something different, you're not that. So we don't really do labels, but we try to be plant based in the UK because we could. Like you have so many choices,
a lot of diverse options.
Yeah. If you can save the environment by making a different choice, then why not, you know, do it? So we did it because it felt like the right thing to do. And I felt healthier and all the rest of it. And then we came to Greece and there was no choice.
Yeah, so they're limited.
We did live on Heros for a while there. But recently we've kind of found a way around it again where we've...
There's a lot more options
for plant-based diets in this particular area of Greece. We've gone back to more of like a vegetarian, vegan.
My opinion on it is if there's a food that you like equally or more than meat, then what's the problem? Like if it's a curry or something.
Yeah, you know. You still like every night you're like, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm not telling you until I put it in front of you because I know you'll like it, but you won't like the sound of it. Yeah.
she starves me to the point where I eat anything.
No, that's not what I meant.
That's like somebody to be vegan. Don't allow them to eat any other food.
So when we're having veggie curry tonight, and not a burger. Like, this is to you specifically. You opt here, but we eat like that during the week, and then at weekends
just, and we do no alcohol during the week as well.
Yeah,
but on weekends it goes completely
apart
back
from
the
I
other
just
way.
Had a prosecco, so that's gone out the window.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
I did.
I've been drinking green tea whilst we've been sat.
Normally you would.
Yeah,
you
know, I nearly. Today. I thought, well, if we're doing a podcast, we should get a beer, really.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Oh, so you're not drinking any beer during the week at all?
No.
Say it, try and say it, funny.
No. Well, it's just saving like, money, just yeah, health, all sorts, really.
Yeah. Need a charger, sorry.
But no, I'm doing this thing, trying to lose a bit of weight as well, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Christmas. It just gives you a belly.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Andy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Come say hello.
You were on the last podcast. So I don't know if you remember, but you made an appearance on that one as well.
He always jumps in at some point. Yeah. Go tell Andy what you're doing at the moment. What have you started that's new that you're loving?
I've started Banava Virtual Academy.
Oh, yeah. Well, so what's that?
It's an online school. It's absolutely amazing.
It's like an online secondary school, basically. Yeah.
Ah, nice. So what are you doing, like GCSE online, studying and all
like
that?
It's like a virtual private school.
Right.
For secondary, specifically. They're not in primary yet, but they might end up doing primary because they're getting very popular.
It's like a private online secondary school. It's amazing. Right. Made so many friends there.
So what really... do? You like log on and then it's like a big Zoom call like this and like all the students are there?
But with all the
whole
the
class.
Students. Yeah.
Really good. It's either a Big Blue Button or Google Meet.
Oh, nice.
They have like
the kids who live on boats who do it.
Yeah. Anyone? No, not on. We've not gone.
They have.
In your class, there's a new girl site that's on the boat, isn't there?
Yeah, she lives in Thailand, I think.
Yeah.
But there's lots of children from all over the world.
Hmm.
Some of them, maybe they are professionals in, like, there's a tennis.
Like athletes.
Yeah, athletes.
Oh, like traveling people in general.
Anyone who basically either doesn't want to or can't attend an everyday school, maybe has special educational needs because they have a SENS team there. And also they record the lessons. So if you're in a different time zone for any reason, you can rewatch them back. But we're two hours ahead. So he gets a lion every day. He gets a 2 hour before his classes start. And he has a timetable.
Joe, I would have loved to have gone to a school like that. It's
Josh, you can't, darling. I can't see it in there.
Josh.
I need a charger.
My laptop's going to die.
Darling, you're going to have to wait, okay?
Just move forward and I can
go. I quit.
No, we're talking about
like teenagers. Off kids.
I need it. My life is not going to go on without it. Is it there?
Yeah, he's getting it.
All right. It would be there, wouldn't it? Of all the places.
Didn't even work.
All right, mate. So, yeah, it's been a godsend. Because for us, obviously, with the channel and everything, when something grows, the work grows, which we're not complaining about in any stretch of the imagination. We absolutely love what we do. But our workload has increased.
And his hunger for knowledge is just increased. Unbelievable.
I was at the point where I was like, yeah, I can't teach him this because I don't know it. Nah, he knows more than I do. And I couldn't.
He is very intelligent. And what's brilliant is it's like a secondary school, but it's also not. So, like, he can sit on his laptop with his video, you know, mic off if he wants to. So he can just listen to the class and, like, be eating a sandwich.
He quite often has his breakfast and while he's in
they do
assembly.
Like, what, hour blocks or something? Yeah. So he'll do his lesson and then, you know, he's got an hour off, so you can do whatever on the boat, jump in the sea, have a swim.
Homework as well.
That's really good.
Yeah. He has a chess club.
A lot of it's on his own terms as well. So, like, they do, what, 3 on average lessons a day?
I was just looking at his timetable. They've got, for example, Monday, he's got maths, English, and Lexia, which is like an extra support.
And then the rest is like, he does a bit like homework, I guess. So he can do it when he wants, as long as he gets it all done by the end of the week. He can kind of, you know, do. We generally get him to do it straight away.
Oh yeah, it's like it's just like when you've got your kids at school and they get homework, and you're like, if you put that off, it's only going to be there tomorrow. Like, we still have to have those parental guidance, as you would if he was physically going to school.
Mm. Yeah.
Home is brilliant.
Hey, there's no
saves run. A lot of time.
No, oh, school, hated run. The school run as
there's
well,
no what do you call it, fines if you take your kids on holiday. I mean, we would be fined.
Yeah. He can have days
it's
off.
Crazy that it's such a wild idea, like the girl don't take your kids to school with a fine, take money off you.
Exactly. It's mad, isn't it? But something we always used to struggle with Josh specifically was like, if he could, he'd be like Einstein. And he would not want to wear clothes. Like, apparently, the only reason Einstein wore clothes was because it was... I've known this. Oh. apparently, it was socially... It's socially unacceptable. The only reason Einstein wore clothes is because it's socially unacceptable to not wear them. But he thought...
It was mandated.
What's the point in clothes? And I kind of agree. But anyway. And Josh is of similar mindset. Like, when he wakes up in the morning, he just wants to walk around in his pants. He wants to have his breakfast and get on with his day. And it was always when we were in the UK so hard to get him ready for school. Because he just wants to focus on what's important, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The way his brain's wired.
Sometimes so it's really hard. You know, as a parent, you're like telling him he's got to do a certain thing. But in the back of your head, you're like, why does he have to do something? Oh, because we
It's interesting when it gets to that. You know, when you're trying to teach him and you're like, well, why do you actually have to do this? Yeah. This is kind of interesting that you question it.
He'll say...
Yeah. Well, he gets told off using his hands to eat with sometimes.
And he'll say, but in India they do it.
In India, it would be, you know, offensive to use a knife and fork.
Once upon a time, we didn't have knife and fork.
There's more people don't use them than does, actually. So it makes more sense. Yeah, we've got the same thing with Arthur. He just constantly takes his clothes off, like constantly. Mm. He does it at nursery a bit as well. He never takes his pants off, which is appropriate. But yeah, he generally always taking his clothes off. We've got a so in our property here, we've got a pool. We've also got a hot tub, but we don't use the hot tub during the summer because it's too hot. But like, because we're leaving, I'm like, I'm going to take him in the hot tub every day. So, like, literally now when he comes back from nursery, he'll just take all his clothes off and he'll just, like, bring me a swimming outfit. And I'm like, oh, just put your swimming outfit on. But he would always generally want to be running around with no clothes on.
I think it's a sensory thing because...
oh, yeah, definitely. He wants the feeling of stuff on his skin. He likes it.
Josh, often he has this thing where he's always got to take one sock off. And he doesn't like... He feels heat very easily, doesn't he? He gets hot very quick. And I'm similar like Josh. I don't like restriction when it comes to like clothes, like waistbands and things that dig in. Like, I'm quite with fabrics and stuff. Like,
it's quite funny, Laura, in the summer, if we're not in a very private place by the time we get to August, like, she gets quite antsy, like, don't even want to wear a bikini, do you?
No, I knew this would happen eventually. We start talking about nature.
If someone's around and she has to wear a bikini, she's like,
no, I've got to go in the sea and I'm going to get out and it's going to be all like clinging to me. And no, it's like, I get it.
I actually think this is much easier for men, because if a man wants to go out in summer and wear just like, I always look like shit. I don't pay any attention to what I wear. Everything's got paint and oil on it. I don't care. Everything's in Primark. I don't care.
And it kind of looks cool as well.
We can pull it off. We can look like, we can look homeless and still rock.
Yeah. Whereas like, you're not homeless, you're saying that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if a woman looks homeless, it's kind of like, what's going on here? You need to sort this out.
Try a bit harder, love.
But we can get away with wearing really baggy clothes, which is nice. I have nothing that sticks to my skin. I hate it. Whereas for a woman, you don't actually have that many fashion options of baggy clothes.
And if you don't wear much, because you feel like that, you get...
It's a fine line, isn't it?
People have a problem with it, and you're like, I just really like restriction. Especially in heat, the Greek heat, you know what it's like. It's absolutely, I mean, I remember when we used to freeze tea towels and wear them as bandanas at one point. Yeah. That works quite well.
That's a good one.
But we are so lucky to have that swimming pool behind the boat. in those months. I don't know what it'd be like being, because that's one thing that puts us off going into waters where they're like, for example, Asian waters where there's more fish that
dangerous sea creatures,
yeah, because of the kids. Yeah. They are in the water all the time all summer.
I was thinking it's like the Whitsundays, you know, those little jellyfish.
Oh yeah.
I'd love to sail the Whitsundays, but
we're all about the water, aren't we, and being in it. So I don't know how we would navigate that.
Struggle in the Balearics, actually. It's really full of jellyfish. Oh, it's horrendous. Mm. And I'm like, you'll pull up in some anchorages and I'm just like, we can't swim here.
I got stung there. What's that? I can't think of the name of the beach now. North of Ibiza.
Mm.
One of the bays there. It's near San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. There's a few nice ones up there. Yeah.
I was we're having anchor problems, me and my dad, who was helping me sail the boat at the time. And we had one of those CQR anchors.
It
was
holding
very well. So I used to go dive down and dig it in whilst he used to reverse the boat. Mm. And on the way down, I got stung by this jellyfish. I got really angry and hit it. Punched this jellyfish, which probably didn't help at all.
I remember
when we left Ibiza going to south of Sardinia, when it got to night time, I think we were motoring at this point, there was like all these jellyfish lighting up behind us, and it was like watching what I can only describe as Guitar Hero.
Wow.
It was like that behind the back of your boat. It was insane. I've never seen anything like it, but there were literally thousands of jellyfish that we must have run over.
You do get blooms, don't you? You get blooms in the island in certain patchy areas. And we've had them in...
Thinking like the height of summer, specifically. Yeah,
there's turtles.
We had none
here,
last year. Turtles, yeah, but turtles don't hurt you. So that's
no, but they eat the jellyfish.
Yes, that's
true. Oh, do they eat jellyfish?
Yeah, they do, yeah. In fact, turtles... Oh. It's coming up in one of our episodes, actually, because I interviewed a lady who's from the Turtle Conservation Society and goes around teaching people about it. Turtles
in Zakynthos.
Yeah.
No. It was in Argostoli.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Cefalonia, definitely. Okay. Yeah, I remember it Thursday. Anyway, and she was saying, because you get the fishermen that feed the fish in the morning and it brings all the tourists around the boat and stuff, and it's actually... Turtles can't eat fish. They don't eat fish, but they do because they're given them, but that's really bad for them.
I thought turtles nibbled on the rocks, little crustaceans.
They do like
mussels,
jellyfish.
And not fish. And then you said, jellyfish. Where do you get that from? Another one to Google. Question, so we've got octopus, where its bumhole is.
is its mouth.
Yeah, is its ass its mouth? We don't know. We need to find these things out. Goodness me.
It's been a pretty good podcast for learning a bit about wildlife, actually.
About everything, really, though, isn't it? We don't really stick to the sailing niche. We're veering off in a million times.
Raised more questions than provided answers for everyone, but
potentially. Yeah. Here we go.
There you go. They do eat jellyfish.
And what about an octopus mouth? Actually, just Google that while you. They're on it. Put some of these
gelatinivores. So turtles are actually gelatinivores. So gelatinivores.
They just eat stuff that's like squidgy.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
No way. I don't know that was a
thing. They eat everything from seaweed to shrimp and crabs.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Where's an octopus's mouth?
Where is it on here?
I'm going to get another drink in a minute.
I really want to know that.
It is there. Can you see that?
That's the mouth.
That is the mouth.
No, it's the
what looks like its bumhole is the mouth.
Well, where's its... Well, what is its arse?
Now he's got to find out where the bumhole is.
What does an octopus's bumhole look like?
Yeah, look, that's flagged for this. Yeah, look, that. Can you see that? So that's the beak. That's the thing you rip out, and apparently it's the quickest way to kill it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're supposed to turn the octopus inside out as well, through that hole.
Oh, man.
No, you pull that out, and then I think you slip above, and then you turn it inside out.
Poor bloody octopus.
Something crazy. Way to go. This is why I've never done it. This is a Greek.
Not eat octopus.
Fish is much simpler.
Can't remember the last time I had it. Anyway, thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I'll be doing that. All right, yeah. Let's. I was going to say this is. Yeah. This has gone on
2.5 hours, is it? Some yeah. Crazy.
But do you know when I said to Hibber before, I was like, "Oh, I've got a podcast." She was like, "How long is it going to be?" I was like, "Maybe a 3-hour one. Let's see how it goes." But
yeah, Laura,
very nice to talk to you for a long. I'm really looking forward to meeting up with you because
I
wanted to try and do it last year. So I think it'll be really nice if we can actually do that this year.
I think look at it as being a long evening because we have nights with our friends and you just start with one and then 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning.
Are we getting a flashback?
That's where it goes.
Yeah. You're the one that's normally nude at that time with your mates in the water, aren't you? So
I think it's 4 in the morning. Like we got
about 5, I think it was.
Naked jumped in and we used sea scooters like going around the bay.
Yeah.
At 4 in the morning. Yeah, that sounds like what we'd be up for. So